All right, guys. Welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard, and I've got John Barbin on the phone. And today we're interviewing Thomas Power, who actually came in fourth place in the latest Adonis Index Transformation Contest. And Thomas has got some really interesting insights and a couple of good stories we're going to talk about today. So, Thomas, I really appreciate you being here, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
So, you know what? Let's kind of cut to the chase. What are some of the stories? What are some of the things that have happened to you since you've kind of made your transformation? I mean, you know, we were talking about some things earlier, and I know that you wanted to kind of, I could feel a smile coming through the phone when we were talking earlier when we mentioned what kind of stories you had. So let's just kind of go about and talk about that for a second.
Well, it's just little things, you know. I have a girlfriend, but and I've never like struggled with attention, you know, from girls, but since I took up the program, It's kind of been ridiculous. Like, I went on holiday recently with five of my friends, and just the attention out there was just ridiculous. Like, you know, not trying to sound cocky or anything, but it was like the attention was amazing. And it's just like a lot of people on the forums and all that, to say once you hit 1.5, there's a big difference. And like, I've definitely noticed that. When you hit 1.5, things start to change.
And yeah. is that like people are commenting now, and just that you just all of a sudden notice like your way? Hey, people are starting to say things and just kind of react differently.
Yeah, it is like even the family at home, like they think like they see in the holiday pictures and they're like, what have you been doing? Like they said,
yeah, it's weird that it happens. It seems. Everyone keeps saying it, and it keeps happening right around 1.5.
Yeah, definitely.
So you notice the same thing at around those measurements?
Yeah, and like it's very cold over here. Like, you're not going to be walking around with your top off or anything. But like, when the holiday photos come back, like my brothers and sisters, my mother, just they all can't believe the change that actually happened.
Right, and so it seems to me that at 1.5 it starts showing right through your clothes, like you can't hide it anymore.
No. I mean, my girlfriend's there beside me now, so she I can't say too much, but like just like maybe the girl might just randomly just kind of grab my arm or something and just kind of squeeze. You know what I mean? It's just little things like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're definitely not the first that said stuff like that. Rich was saying some of the same things. As far as, you know, his woman was, you know, kind of grabbing him tighter and holding him closer when they walked through crowds and things like that. Yeah, it's really strange. You know, and for a lot of people listening right now, when we talk about this kind of magic that happens at 1.5, it's one thing to say it, and it's kind of like I was talking to Brent Smith one time. I was out in L.A., and we were just talking about particular time we were talking about like dating advice and not really advice, but just kind of how he lives and how I've lived in the past and just kind of stories that you have and I was telling him, I was like, man, you know, the funny thing about it is that it's really hard to explain this because you don't really understand it unless you've been there. You don't get it. Like, as soon as you get there and it starts happening, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like Thomas, would you have, before that started happening, could you have guessed how things would have gone?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you carry yourself differently too. You know, you walk around like chest out. You know, you're just a different person, basically. You know, so much more confident. It really changes.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, it really is. And like I say, we didn't come up with this number. I mean, this is just kind of what was reported back to us, but. It really is that way. I mean, I wish, you know, by doing these interviews and things like that, I'm hoping that we can kind of give other guys an idea of what's possible and what really happens, not coming from our mouths, because, you know, by us saying something, you know, obviously, you know, even though we're as no BS as possible, you know, people still, you know, at the end of the day are kind of like, well, you know, they might be tweaking a little bit, or they might be pushing the boundaries, or they might be over kind of, you know, not analyzing, but kind of going overkill and making it bigger than it really is. But I mean, this really happens. And, you know, I want people to understand that there's something there. It is, and it's been reported back and forth. So, And that's really pretty cool.
Even I was skeptical at first, you know, when I came across the actual program. You know, I was thought, this is a bit too good to be true.
Sure.
Explain that. Why were you skeptical? Like, go further into that.
Yeah, because, say, if I'd been doing a different working program, can I say the name of it, or will I just... Can I... Hello?
Hello? Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I say the name of the...
No, just say you were doing something else.
Yeah, it was a program designed just for strength, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, eating 6 times a day, protein the whole time, and I was looking for a workout program that just didn't. That was just... Basically, I was looking for a workout program based on aesthetics rather than strength. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't actually remember how I came across it, but I was just searching on Google looking for different workouts, and one day I came across the Adonis workouts.
And so even when you found it, you were still skeptical, though, right?
Yeah, because I didn't want to hear that everyone I'd been doing was wrong. You know what I mean? I was too proud to admit it. I was thinking, I'm going to keep going with the strength workout. I wanted it to work so badly. I wanted what I've been doing for the last 2 years just to be wasted, you know? So it took a while to actually swallow my pride and just go out and try the new program.
Yeah.
Well, man, we didn't mean to put you or anyone in that kind of position. But that's, wow, that you're the first person who's ever revealed that kind of, that's a huge insight, that it was actually, you didn't even want to use our stuff because you wanted to force what you were doing to work.
Yeah.
So what made you flip? What made you actually just decide to go ahead?
It was the results of the first Donald transformation. I just don't believe the results. So I remember so I'm kind of lean naturally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I seen Pierre. I always thought she wanted to be bigger and wanted to be bigger. Like, rather than embrace the leanness that I have. So I seen what Pierre did, and I just thought, well, I have to try this.
Yeah, and I mean, all the bigger guys, like the guys who aren't as lean as you, they wish they were as lean as you.
Exactly,
so,
yeah, yes.
It don't ruin it.
Yeah, it's just embrace what you have. If you're naturally big, be happy. If you're naturally lean, use that too. You know, whatever you have, just make the most of it.
So, yeah. Would you say that you went from, so you had a paradigm shift then. You learned to embrace your kind of predetermined what you've got is leanness, and then really all you got to work on is size instead of trying to blow it up big and then come back to the traditional Balkan cut.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be so obsessed with my weight before. It has to be heavier, heavier, heavier. And if someone mentioned my weight, I was just so defensive. But honestly, now I just don't care. I don't even look at the scale anymore.
Which is interesting, because in your transformation, we awarded you fourth place because you built muscle. Like, it really shows.
Yeah.
So now that you don't care about your weight, you got bigger.
Exactly. I actually don't look at the scale anymore. You know, I look at the mirror, see our pictures, like, just see how I'm changing.
Hmm.
Like, I remember I put up a post, the permission to be late. I said, thank God for that, because, you know, that's something I needed to give myself, you know?
Yeah. It's really interesting, man. I mean,
So on your old program, I'm still really interested with the switch here from the old program. So was the old program basically designed, or at least, maybe not the program, but the way, the thought process was the old, you have to get heavier, right?
Have to get heavier. It was like lots of squats, lots of deadlifts, lots of bench press, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this over and over again for about 2 years. Didn't see much a change. You know, my legs got bigger, but whatever else is getting just fatter. That's not...
It's not what you're after.
No. I was already at a point where I didn't care about strength. I just wanted to look better. You know, then the Adonis effect was designed purely on aesthetics, really.
Mm-hmm. Strength is a side effect of a good-looking body.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Not the other way around.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty funny, you know, the whole thing about the difference between muscle building and fat loss for thinner guys, I mean, kind of like what you were alluding to. I mean, one of your strengths is the fact that you're already naturally lean, which is great. Because even though muscle building is harder from a, you know, physiological standpoint, fat loss sucks worse.
Yeah. I mean, muscle building requires more time and patience. But yeah. Fat loss just sucks. Count yourself lucky for not having to do it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I see some of the blogs on the website. Like, I've seen Dan had to lose 100 pounds to get we're the same weight now. Mm. Dan. So, I mean, it's just, I am lucky in that sense, definitely. I never complain about being lean anymore. Definitely not.
Mm. I mean, well, yeah, muscle, but not bulk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, some of the insights that you said. You know, especially with the one with the kind of the dissonance of not wanting to, you know, it's not even admit you were wrong. I don't think it's that.
That's it. Yeah.
Did it feel like it was two wasted years sort of thing?
Kind of, yeah, because I was doing the same workouts kind of over and over again and without any real change. And it did, like, you know. But then, I just had to swallow my pride and just say, look, I'm going to have to try this workout.
And you told us something before. You work out at home.
I do, yeah, yeah. No, I've never joined a gym.
Right, and that's a big deal because, I mean, that makes your transformation even more impressive because that's hard to do. Like,
yeah,
a lot of guys can't get that done at home.
Yeah, let's talk about equipment. What kind of equipment do you have at the house? And did you have to make any tweaks or anything like that?
A few tweaks. No, I have like a bench and I've the lat pull down machine.
Okay.
Oh, so you've got a pretty good setup.
Yeah, I have a decent setup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A few minor tweaks, but not major. So I'm pretty good at setup at home.
So you can get through the workout more or less as written with a couple substitutions.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very rarely do I have to change that too drastically.
Okay. That's really good to know. So I guess you're kind of living proof it can be done at home too.
Oh, definitely. There's no more excuses. You know, this is a good workout.
Yeah. What kind of? Give me an idea of this, because we find this is a there are two sides to I guess the same coin. You've got some people that come across our stuff that you know, right off the bat they're like, okay, dude, I already know that what I've been doing, you know, can't be right, so they go ahead and pick it up. But then if people don't pick it up at the very, like, within the first day or two of exposure, it's usually about 60 to 90 days afterwards. So would you say you were probably more in that category, which kind of took you some time? Were you kind of just... Yeah, okay, so basically kind of getting... Go ahead.
I've been following podcasts, well, you know, and I couldn't believe, like, some of the stuff you were telling, like, you know, just that you see you don't need a gram of protein. All the old myths you were kind of dispelling, and it took a while, but it was really just seeing those results. I just couldn't believe it. I had to try it out.
Yeah. So I mean, that sounds pretty common. I mean, so if you're listening right now, and some of the stuff that we talk about on the podcast kind of seem just far out, you know, and you're just kind of hanging, and there's no way this can work. I mean, trust me, you're not the only person. I mean, literally. Yeah.
Which is ironic because the stuff we say is super simple, and the stuff everyone previous believed—that's the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Right, but well, it's just like diamonds. And I don't think a lot of people understand that the whole diamond engagement ring tradition was actually invented by De Beers, the diamond company. So they actually invented this thing and propagated the whole tradition around. Even the amount you're supposed to spend. Think about that for a second. That's pretty funny. So now everybody.
Well, I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be able to tell people they need to spend 3 months' salary on our workout.
Yeah, but think about that.
And
if you don't, yeah, if you don't spend it,
your wife will leave you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing marketing.
Think about it. They created the market and then named the price too, and set the tone, and nobody thinks anything otherwise. Nobody knows. But that's kind of what's going on in a lot of the fitness marketing too, where
eat the six meals a day, eat a gram per pound of body weight, eat breakfast, do your cardio and all that stuff, has been sort of, it's been filtered down or sort of self-perpetuated. And I'll just say that it may be useful, some of it, in the very final few days for a pro or top level bodybuilder. Some of those super picky things may actually change the way they look. But we're talking like pro level, where hour by hour their look changes. And again, just before the show, that like really, really obsessive compulsive final before the show prep gets splashed all over the industry, and just your average person is thinking they need to do that every day. It's kind of like the tweaks like a Formula One car makes like in the pits when they're going in a race versus you just going for an oil change. You just don't need that level of attention to improve the look of your body. It's way overkill, like way overkill. No one really needs to be doing half of that stuff.
Yeah, you don't need adjustment. You don't need a wedge adjustment or more air in your left tire or
none of
spoiler
that.
Adjustment.
Yeah.
So it's pretty funny. So Thomas, I mean, obviously you've got an accent, so you're out of Ireland. It was interesting trying to mail you a check, by the way, that went out the other day. I was like, all right, well, there's no number on this thing. How's this work?
How does that work?
Yeah.
I'm from a little small, very small village. I don't know, it works. I suppose there's only 4 million people in this country, so.
Right, so what was it? Is there like a box in that all the mail goes in? You just kind of walk down and go get it?
Well, no, it's delivered.
Go ahead.
No, like I said, delivered.
So he just knows who you are.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's very
local
kind of thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Cause I was like, man, I'm sending money over here. I'm wondering if he's going to get it.
Have you been like under the radar with your training? Meaning, like, do people ask you, or do you tell anyone, or do you just kind of go about your own business? And if someone asks, you tell. But you like, give us some insights about like, has anyone been curious, or is it you just sort of just doing your thing?
No, people have been curious. Like when I've seen the change I've made, it's like you have to, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, tell me. Like, you have to tell me what you're doing. At home as well, like I was under the radar, like they didn't know I was really training, but after a while they noticed and they said just change some change in there. What are you doing?
So at some point you just can't hide it anymore.
No, it's just exactly. Mm-hmm. You hit a certain stage where it's kind of obvious.
And have you gotten in any conversations? Like, I know other people have, but Have you actually revealed how you go about doing it, what the philosophy is, and do people give you any pushback, or have you gotten to the point where you're teaching others, or like?
Yeah, you know, people are very set in their ways. Like me, like I was, I didn't want to be wrong, you know. So I actually just let people think what they want, and I just say, look, this is what I'm doing, so it works for me. If that works for you, you keep doing that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way to deal with it.
Yeah. I can't, you know, it's because people get offended, people get defensive and upset. Like, if they don't want to know what they've been doing is, you know, completely wrong in some cases.
Sure. Yeah, it's just one of the things we're kind of uncovering too, just kind of from a big broad see the battlefield perspective, just kind of what we represent. And you know, about 2 years ago, we were kind of combative about things like, oh, you're wrong, we're right. And, you know, that didn't go over too well. And, you know, we got a lot of blowback because of it. And now we're finding that just kind of being, and we've talked about this in past interviews and that you'll hear, but just kind of being agnostic about it and just like, you know what? I do what I do. You do what you do. If you want to look like me and you're ready, I'll tell you what I do. But no way in the world am I trying to push on you what I do, you know.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, it just seems to work a lot better just pulling people along instead of trying to push. And you know, it's, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we live in a social world, and that type of, you know, defending of, I think we spend a lot of time defending our own ego and our own points of view, like a lot of time. I mean,
at the expense of our own results and at the expense of potentially helping other people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the way it works. Well, Thomas, you just said it. You said you didn't want to admit that maybe the training you were doing wasn't really getting what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, I mean, for anyone skeptical, I mean, the evidence is there. Like, you know, just look at the results some of the guys got on the transformation contest.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You know, that's one of the things.
And it doesn't, and it also doesn't mean some of the training you did before didn't contribute at least to some degree. It's just, you know,
yeah,
we're just trying to get it done quicker.
Yeah.
For the most part, quicker and simpler. I guess you could say.
I guess as a combination. There's only so fast you can make muscle gain happen, but it doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah, I mean, if you can gain at roughly the same speed, I guess here's my overview of the whole thing, is that if I can live my life and do everything that I do right now, and I can gain 95% of the muscle I could gain and drop 95% of the fat I could lose by doing it my way, by being super flexible and still continuing what I'm doing, I mean, I'll give that 5% up.
For not being completely obsessive compulsive about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the way a lot of us are starting to look at it now, whereas, you know, that 5%, that point where that's where you get to the diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point you quit. For me, that's the ceiling, that little... As soon as you hit the point of diminishing returns, I'm done.
Mm.
You know.
Look, Thomas. So,
yeah.
What are you? What's your plan now? Like, where are you headed with the workouts? Are you going to do a mega cycle, giant cycle? What part of the system did you use for the transformation? And where are you headed?
It was the muscle building foundation.
Okay.
The,
yeah.
But you see, I can only maybe fit about four times a week, so I didn't actually get it completed. But I was still consistent.
Sure.
I mean, you have to push. You have to bring that intensity. You know, you can't do it kind of half-assed. You know, you really have to push. You know, when you're working out.
Yeah. What do you do to generate that intensity?
I don't know. I just the forums actually help a lot. You know, you see some of the stuff that goes right up is inspiring, you know, and they all kind of push each other, and that helped a lot anyway.
Did the transformation contest help, like being in it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I felt under serious pressure. I thought I have to. I there were so many days I just didn't feel like working out. But I just thought, like, if I enter this contest, so I have to give it everything I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just would definitely push.
Yeah, when you put a time constraint on it, it makes every workout just that much more important. That you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, there is. There's a tomorrow, but you technically, literally, just gave away a day, where another guy you know didn't give away a day. And
yeah.
So it's kind of sitting in the back of your mind. Let's talk about intensity a little bit. Did you have any problems understanding that concept at all? Because, you know, it's kind of one of the things some guys at the very beginning kind of have a problem getting, and even some of the women on the other side, you know, talking about how much weight to use and things like that. That's how we kind of judge intensity. Did you have a problem with that, or did it just kind of come to you and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that?
No, I had a problem with that too. Remember I said I was kind of messing around with the, I wasn't doing it exactly as it was written down. And
right.
I wasn't really pushing as hard as I could. I saw it was the dual build cycle. I did about 4 weeks of that, but I kind of messed around, so I just said, look, scrap it, and I'm starting again, and I do it properly. And it was after that, that's when I really seen results. I started bringing the intensity.
So yeah, any workout written on a paper is basically useless if you don't put enough intensity into it.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it only does what it's supposed to do if you're pushing as hard as you can push.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if a lot of guys were as intense in their workouts as they were about stuffing stuff down their gullet, like different supplements and all this other stuff, you know what I mean? Like, trying to be super rigorous about, you know, all their meals and all this other stuff, and then they go to the gym, and, I mean, I see it all the time. I see guys lifting, and I'm just like, man, you had more in the tank than what you just did.
Oh, and speaking of which, you said you did the muscle, the foundation, which was designed for, I mean, I wrote it for 5 days a week, and you said you did four, and that was that because you didn't feel like you could do five, or is it just because of the way your schedule works out, four is all that fit? Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, it was scheduled, and I did, it was kind of, maybe just felt like it was a bit too much, maybe five days in a row, and the schedule didn't help either. You know, it's kind of harder to work out at the weekends. Just always found it was always, it's harder to actually,
Well, that's good.
I don't know, just to make time.
That's good to know, because other guys have been playing around with how that particular program is designed. Like, even though I wrote it 5 days a week, if you want to put a rest day right in the middle and it ends up being five workouts in 8 days, like, that's fine too, which just sounds like kind of what you ended up at. It's just good because I'm glad you worked through it that way and obviously produced results for you.
And the funny thing is, actually, stronger than I've ever been to using this program.
Yeah, it's not designed to build strength per se. I mean, it'll end up, I mean, that's not our target, but it ends up happening.
Yeah, but as compared to the strength program I did for 2 years, like, I've been doing this about 6 months now, stronger than I've ever been.
Right, and you were following a quote strength program before.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, so much for that, eh?
It's funny. I don't think it's necessarily the program's fault necessarily that people are following a lot of times. I think I really think that a lot of people don't understand. Like a lot of coaches, when they get to a place where they're trying to coach people in the free range and trying to give advice, maybe when they're not there, they just don't have the concept that most people don't understand what intensity really is. You know,
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really sure what the difference is and why the strength doesn't... two things. Either the program is poorly designed and the strength just doesn't come because it's not designed to build it, or the message doesn't come through, or there's not a community like we have to push people to actually push it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's we've kind of got a three-pronged approach instead of just kind of throwing stuff at people and saying, go for it. You know, we've got a really big education side of it where, you know, guys really can really get a handle and an idea of what exactly they need to do and what almost like the definitions of what they need to do and how they need to do it as far as, you know, like intensity and, you know, even talking about mindset and even simplicity, what that means, what's overkill, what's not overkill. So it really gets them a really sharp vision of what they need to do. You know, they get some structure, which is obviously the workouts themselves, and then how to eat, their structure involved in that. And then there's a community of people that, you know, you can bounce ideas off of and you can push. So there's essentially this kind of triangle of triumph, I guess, for lack of a better term, that kind of works really well. I've never really thought about it like that, but I think a lot of people really miss out on
one of the three.
Yeah, one of the three, because you really need all three. But most specifically is the education side. Like for me, and this is going to sound like I'm really putting people down, but I'm not. But I think rules are made for people too stupid to understand with a real reason. So,
or the assumption that
people are too stupid to understand a real reason.
Yeah, or they just don't want to give you what the underlying principle is in the first place.
Sure. So, I mean, that's kind
of... It's easier to control a group of people with rules than it is to teach them to think.
Right, exactly. I use the example all the time of a kid. You know, when you're young, I mean, like for me, I wasn't allowed in the front yard, like ever. But it wasn't because the front yard was bad. It was because my parents didn't want me to run out in the street and get run over. So, to me, front yard equals bad. It's not car running over you equals bad.
Yeah, so you don't understand the principle, you're just following the rule.
Right, exactly. And so you kind of get wrapped up in the rule, and it happens.
Well, and actually, that's a good point. So, Thomas, do you actually, do you feel like you understand what you're doing more?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That's right. Can you start that over about what you did as far as, what's changed as far as what you actually believe, or rule following versus your beliefs now?
Yeah, like I understand a lot more, like, well, I think what I'm Like before, I was just shoving food down my throat, eating as much as I could, and I didn't. I just thought, this is ridiculous. This can't be right. You know, and it was like I had to schedule. Like I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to eat at this time, eat at that time. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Like plan your whole day around what you're going to eat. It just doesn't make sense.
And like you said, did it even do anything?
No, it just made me kind of fat.
So you went from skinny to fat, but there was no muscle.
Yeah, like, I got up to about 170 at one stage. I'm 150 now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got up to almost 170, and I just looked at myself in the mirror, and I could see I'd never been fat, and I could see a kind of stomach forming. And I just thought, I can't. Like, this has to change. I can't do this anymore.
This was never the point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that eating your way to bigger muscles turned into you just became fatter.
Yeah, really. Like I didn't.
But you achieved the sort of old goal of being heavier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goal just seems ridiculous to me.
And I don't understand why guys still want that. I was talking to a guy in the gym just recently who just said he comes up. You know, we were chatting, and he's lean and muscular, and he's like, "Oh, I just want to be 15 pounds heavier." And I'm like, "Well." Yeah. 15 pounds of what? That's a lot. Like, I'm in what time frame? Like, you know, in 6 years, you know, because the guy is 25, he probably can still do it. But I'm like, I don't know. That's a lot. Like, pro bodybuilders don't even want 15 more pounds. I don't know how you think you're going to do that.
Yeah, that's like my buddy, B that's at the gym. I talk about all the time. He was saying the same thing, but he knew what he was going to have to do. But I was like, well, what's next for you, whatever. He goes, yeah, I'm probably I need to somehow gain about 15 more pounds of muscle. And I was like, well, how are you going to do that? He goes, well, I'm going to have to make some adjustments. And, you know, basically, I was in my mind, I'm thinking, damn, man, how much gear is that going
to
take?
Well, that's what he means, adjustment to his gear, not to his training.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Let's clarify. It wasn't adjustments to training. It was adjustments to, you know, other right. stuff.
And so, Thomas, moving forward, I'm assuming your goal now is just to continue building muscle then, right?
Yeah, I'm going to calculate my muscle index as soon as I can and then maybe finish off the building foundation as well. But, I want to try to get my muscle index to see if I compare it to other people and try and improve that, basically.
Well, are you going to enter the open contest, or are you thinking about it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to enter the open, yeah.
I think you should.
It's going to be serious competition in that. I can't wait for it, actually.
I think that'll be as competitive as any bodybuilding, any local bodybuilding show I've ever been to.
Yeah, so, I don't.
I mean, I can't wait to get back to working out. I mean, I've taken a break now since the results came out.
I can't see any reason why anybody wouldn't want to enter the open.
Yeah, I think it's good for people once a year to do some kind of photo shoot. I don't even care if they're people, if you don't use our systems or who you are. If you're trying to get in shape, I think it's good or useful once a year to enter something or at least set yourself a date for a photo shoot and just do it. Because it keeps you accountable year to year. Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't...
Yeah.
It does, definitely. I mean, it does. Like, I just felt like I had to... Like, during the competition, I felt... Because I was in the competition, I felt under serious pressure, actually.
Doesn't it really help with your training?
Absolutely. That's the best thing I ever did, really. You know? Yeah.
Like, would you agree that it would make sense to maybe, you know, set a date once a year or try to enter one once a year just for something to really push the training?
Yeah, exactly. It gives you such motivation, you know. And I'd say to anyone, just enter. Like, the transformation contest or the open contest, because it just gives you such motivation and, like, really helps.
Yeah. I want to see how the peer pressure works. Like, with all the trash talking that's going to happen.
It's already started for the open.
Oh, I know. I just want to see how that happens. I mean, I literally feel like that there's a whole group of people that can really suck in and carry other people. You know, and people shouldn't be afraid of the guys in the forum and stuff like that by any means, because they're really cool. But at the same time, you know, it's you get in there and it gets to be, you know, put up or shut up time where everybody's having a good time with it, but you know they expect the best for you.
But everyone's on each other's side there. No one's.
Yeah, so it's good trash talk, but I have a feeling that what we're going to see is people like going, are you doing it this time? No, I mean, I think I'm going to take a break. What? Don't be a wimp. Come on, man. And then everybody like piles on this one guy until he submits his photos and like all this other stuff. I think that'd be great. Mm. You know, because literally if you think about it, we run contests 3 times a year. When you get to the stage where you're in an open category, in reality, you're probably going to stay within striking distance pretty much all year, which is what we're after anyway. And then maybe for 4 weeks out of each contest, so 12 weeks out of the year, you'll be doing some type of cut. I mean, that's...
That's the whole point. Actually, I was talking about this earlier today. The whole point now, especially for people like Thomas who you don't have any real a lot of fat to try to get rid of, and anybody else who's managed to get down to that level, now it's just build, refine, and then when the opens come around, just spend 4 or 5 weeks dialing it in for the open and then see what it looks like, and then just continue on what you're doing, and then the next open, do it again. That's kind of, I think, where we're going with this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty good. Let's wrap it up here. I know that you have kind of a, Brad, you have a couple of things that we normally close with, a couple of concepts we usually want to get people to explain.
Yeah, Thomas, basically the big gist of it is, what's your big aha moment? And if you had to, you know, kind of give some advice to guys that were kind of in your situation where, you know, slender guys, they're looking to build muscle, you know, what kind of advice would you give? What were the aha moments that you got out of it? What were the kind of big picture things that really kind of shook your foundation?
I'd just say for someone who's like lean like me, I'd just say that so many guys would love to be as lean as we are. Just embrace how lean you are and just try and get the best body you possibly can. Because we're blessed to have this leanness, you know. I mean, a lot of guys have to lose 150, 100 pounds to get anywhere near us. So just embrace what you have. Basically, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. John, you got anything you want to add to that, buddy?
The only other thing that you said that I thought was powerful is you said that things really started working when you just followed the program as is and didn't try to mess around with it. That was, I thought that was pretty powerful too.
That's it. Completely. Just do it as it's written down.
Yeah.
You see results.
That's pretty consistent, man. Everybody that wins says the same thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent, so you can't get any more cut and dry than that, I guess. So, well, cool, man. Well, I really appreciate you being on the call with us, man. And it's been fun times. We'll see you in the forums. And for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.